Hey, make sure that you subscribe to the Lando Calrissian Experience and all the different shows on Lando Cal Experience on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, everywhere that you would want to get your podcasting from. So you may be listening to this on the Stroud Low Cash feed. And if you are, make sure you go over to Lando Cal feed and subscribe there so you can get more content, more things about nerd culture and movies and comics and topics that we'll be having going out. Email us LandoCalPod@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at Lando Calrissian Experience, as well as find us on Twitter too, Lando Cal Pod, on Twitter as well. So we're everywhere social media is too. So go on there, check us out, follow us, all that good stuff. Also, this episode is sponsored by Rabbit Charger, rabbitcharger.com. And Rabbit Charger is a rapid way of charging your phone between multiple outlets at the same time, without the long cords and long issues that you normally have about trying to find your charger, and rid you of the clutter, and also gives you swappable charging tips for Android and iOS's. So go ahead and check them out at rabbitcharger.com and support their Kickstarter they have going on as well. And welcome to the show.
The Bolo Bastard.
Father's Day invitation.
Father's Day. That's a damn good ass. And that's gonna be the name of the episode, the Father's Day Invitational. I like that. So we get the Bastard Bowl, we get Daenerys. That's basically all we got this whole episode. Did we get anything else? Just Daenerys and the Bastard Bowl, right?
Yeah, that was it. That was they took about 10 minutes to
wrap up Daenerys.
Wrap up Daenerys, and it was like, meanwhile,
back at the ranch
at Winterfell Stadium, the Bastard Bowl is preparing to kick off.
Oh, and no, it was over crazy. It was like the pre-conference, so we could start it at the Super Bowl conference where everybody comes in and talks about what's going to happen for the next day.
They did have a press conference before it started, didn't they? It was like a fight. No, it was like when you see...
Oh, you see the fight? Yeah, you had the weigh-in.
Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis.
I'm going to eat your children.
Ramsey cut a big promo on Jon Snow. Bastard. Like, hold on, dog. How you calling me back? Like, wait a minute.
Hey, man.
You don't know your daddy either. Actually, you killed your
daddy. You killed your daddy.
But, like, hold on, dog. Yeah, it was great. That was perfect. I was like, man, this is going to be like a... Jon Snow basically tells him, you don't want to bang. So, what we going to do about this? And Ramsey basically was like, you're right. I don't want to bang. But I got these people with me.
Yeah, it was like you said, it was a fight conference. It's almost like Jon Snow is Mike Tyson when he said, I'll eat your children, praise do Allah. You know, praise do Allah.
I killed your dog,
praise do Allah.
Threw the family dog's head across the fucking
hills. I was like, they was just going back and forth. So, what y'all think about the pre fight conference? What you think, Raven?
Oh, I just saw the whole episode. It was awesome. Are you talking about like right before the fight started?
Yeah, where
they sent Rickon out there, or the talk they had?
No, that's the pre-talk. Yeah, the pre-talk where you had to go like, all right. So,
I was kind of worried about Jon after that conference because I think he was definitely underestimating Ramsay, and Sansa tried to talk some sense into him. You know, don't underestimate this man, and I think he still almost did.
Oh no, he didn't almost. He totally did to me. Matt, overall, the pre-conference bowl.
Pre-conference bowl?
Yeah.
The bowl for the bowl.
Bowl for the bowl, man. That's what it was.
I I mean, it was kind of what I expected it to be. You know, it was, you know, you see this little party of people ride up. You know, it's, I don't know if anybody's seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, yeah.
But,
sure.
So it's, they coming up with a thing. Right? They're putting the coconuts together because they don't really have horses. And then they come down the hill and it's like, oh, there's a real army over here. Yeah. And Ramsay, you know, steps down, his people, cocky, confident as hell. And I was like, this is what he's going to do. Like, the thing about it is, like, I'm sitting here watching, it's like, he's going to try to hype Jon Snow up. Like, he's going to try to get in his head and intimidate him. Well, there's no intimidating somebody that's died. Like, this dude
no
was...
Fear.
And he's seen White Walkers. And he's fought White Walkers.
This dude was dead 9 episodes ago.
And he's killed White Walkers.
Yes. I mean, like, he's done all these things, but he did it, and he did it to agitate him, and it worked. Mm-hmm. So... you know, John came back at him like, yeah, but you don't want to scrap, though. And he's like, well, no, I don't. I've heard all these things about you. I've heard about you're the greatest swordsman in the North.
Maybe I'm surprised he didn't say, I heard you came back alive. Like, do people not know that he
came? I wonder if people know that.
Yeah, do people know
he came back alive? I wondered it, too, though, because that's been the first thing. I'm like, dude, you just came back alive. You think I want to fight you?
I think it's going to get spread like myth. Like, it's going to, like, come out over time, you know, the more
people going to tell stories.
Because the legend of John Snow. I mean, think about this. Let's back up from this pre-talk for a second. Jon Snow's legend. Imagine you don't see anything on this show and you hear about him coming the whole time. Like, you don't know what Kit Harington looks like. You have no idea who he is, and you're just there like, Jon Snow's coming. Legend has it is that he killed White Walkers. He died and came back from the dead. He's the greatest swordsman in the North has ever seen.
He fought all the wildlings and everything.
He united the wildlings and took out the leader of the Night's Watch, and now he's coming to see you. You know, I would be like... damn, this dude will be about 8 feet tall when he get there. And Kit Harington is 5'8". Yeah. So, you know, Sansa's taller than Jon Snow.
Really?
Look at how he always is standing in front of her.
Or behind the table. Like
when they
the table.
Hugged, when they hugged, they rotated it so it was behind Sansa so she didn't come bearing down on him because he's a little
really?
Dude.
I didn't ever trip off
him. Yeah, he's a small dude. But, wow. But if you heard about Jon Snow coming, if I was Ramsay, the first thing I would do would be like, you know, fuck that. I'm going to try to, you know,
Ramsay. Well, Ramsay's not even a good swordsman, though.
No, but I would realize he would want to fight me like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lose that fight. Like, you know, I'll make this real. Like, I'm not going to sit here and I hear Floyd Mayweather coming, and I'm going to be like, yeah, let's just get down
to set. I'm surprised he didn't try to match up, one of those, like, Karstarks or Tumberleys or somebody. Like, but what, I got somebody else that could fight you.
Ramsay wants to humiliate people.
Like Small John Umbridge or somebody. Yeah. Like, they couldn't fight him, like, to replace him.
Well, and his angle was, my army is going to wipe your army out, I'm keeping Winterfell, and I'm taking Sansa back.
Yeah.
Like, he was about total obliteration, because he wants to be the end-all, be-all.
He wants to be done with the Starks, period.
He has to kill all the Starks, so just killing one wasn't going to be good enough for him. He had to do it. So, I liked the speech. I thought it was a good foreshadow. I thought it was, you know, kind of a little bit of a traditional set up before, you know, the big showdown. But that's okay, though. I mean, you gotta do that.
So what did y'all think about Sansa and Jon Snow's conversation before, you know, during the pre-battle planning?
Their relationship.
Do y'all think she knew about that the cavalry was coming?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
She called.
Yeah. The only reason I kind of don't know for sure, because that wasn't their whole army, though. That was just the cavalry, because that was the fastest ones they could get there. There was only the guys on horses. So, like, they had a whole other army that was still rolling up.
Yeah.
So I wonder if she knew. So you
maybe
think she knew?
She didn't. Maybe she, because I think she had reached out to Littlefinger.
Yeah.
She was kind of hoping.
So that's the thing that's ambiguous. People were mad about that. Well, did she let all these other people die because John was going, John was going to run out there to everybody, and everybody would messed up. Or Ramsay might have fell back into Winterfell. That's a siege then, and then you got to.
Yeah.
Siege on a castle bigger than the Blackfish's castle and the Tarly castle.
I mean, I thought it was interesting. I mean, they did everything. I thought that scene between the two of them was a good setup because it was both of them at their best. You know, John riding in on his horse, you know, like, you know, the hero, the knight in shining armor. You know, like, hey, listen, I'm taking back what's mine.
Yeah.
While Ramsay's there with all his people, surrounded by all these people, so he looks stronger than he actually is. And he's, you know, facing down against a guy he clearly couldn't defeat that way, but he was setting it up to be able to take him on. And then it almost happened. Like, I
thought Ramsay, Ramsay is a dope ass general, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if he planned all that, that was like the, I'm talking about the battlefield dynamics of what he did, where he brought everybody in and then had that wall situation around it. They were done if it wasn't for the veil. I mean, there was no way he was going to get out of that. That was us. And then, because that was old school. old school Roman Spartan style, like fighting.
Oh yeah, that was exactly what that was.
Was it flanking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then, so I mean, I don't even know what did Sansa know? Y'all think that she was like, well, you ain't ask me for nothing. Fuck you, I'm on wait.
No, I think that she was hoping, but she didn't want to promise anything either.
Hmm. I think that it all goes back to what happened, you know, two or three episodes ago, and it was like, why didn't she tell him that Littlefinger was mm-hmm. there? Like, yeah. why? Something's not. I think yeah. that's going to be what comes out mm-hmm. this episode. Some of that stuff's going to come to light about why that didn't.
Yeah,
why
that wasn't may not.
I think it's because she doesn't want him to know the whole story of everything. Yeah, or how not. She got to be a Ramsay, all that stuff, that her whole traveling and escapade is because of Littlefinger. And I don't think she wanted him to know.
Yeah, because John would go after him.
For yeah.
And she know.
Yeah.
It's like when you got that friend you got to grab.
Yeah.
Like,
you can't tell him everything.
Don't say anything because he's going to flip. Like, he's going to lose his mind. Don't tell him everything. Just tell him what happened, like what's going on right now. That's John, because John would kill Littlefinger if he knew that he set her up for all of that stuff yeah. and all this trouble, and that, you know, he went to go and try to just use her.
Even going back to at King's Landing, he's the one, the reason that she got kicked out from setting up Joffrey's death, even.
Dude, but here's the thing, is he gets close to Littlefinger, yo, he, yeah, Joffrey's death, that even goes back to when he turned over Ned.
Yeah.
Littlefinger basically killed his father.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, another twist that I look at, and I'm like, well, how the hell does Sansa reckon that? She was there for all of that.
But it's probably Sansa's fault, though. That, y'all remember? Yeah, Sansa's the one that dimed out where her dad was.
Yeah, she had good sense.
That, see, that it does her good to not, for John to not.
Yeah, that, now you see why, like, she's her hands in the cookie jar a little bit, too. Yeah,
her and Littlefinger are kind of implicated together. Like, they got some things they gotta ride out together, because one person telling the next person.
And then somebody went, well, you didn't tell them, you told them where your dad was.
Right. And then it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. So that's why I don't think she told him. Does John know that Littlefinger set up his dad? Does he know all
the... I don't think John knows anything about the details like that.
That's what I'm saying. I wonder, he doesn't know all that. He doesn't know his pops is dead. Was dead. That's it.
Yeah, he knows.
And he thinks Joffrey has something. He knows Joffrey ordered it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
That's his beef with the Lannisters. You know, he's got no ambition. I think that also a little bit of it is Sansa kind of measuring off what John's true ambition is. Mm-hmm. You know, she is... really been riding hard about being the main Stark, you know, and especially now that Rickon got killed right in front of him.
He wasn't a main Stark anymore.
But he would have been like the Tully dude that took over the land. Oh,
yeah.
He's the,
yeah, because he could come in. Yeah, he could come in.
He's the son. He's the natural born son. So he would have had that. And I'm not saying Sansa wanted her brother to die, but it just seems like she kind of doesn't want Jon in a way to his ability to kind of supersede that too. Because also, and she doesn't know this, I'm going to say it again, John truly is the rightful Lord of Winterfell, because Rob bequeathed it to him.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how that comes
out. I think it's going to come out because, I forgot, somebody has it. I forgot who
it's
it was.
The
somebody
guy,
has
it's the guy that knows about the Tower of Joy.
Yeah, he's got the decree, so he's got everything. Yeah. So he's got everything in play. And so I wonder how that's going to play in, because his daughter is the one rolling with Bran.
Yeah.
So all that's going to converge on each other at some point, you know. And he's probably going to be pissed that his son's dead, too, you know. Because that was his son, too, that died when the dead were getting up, stabbing all of them up. But one thing I was interested in, which I think, do y'all think Sansa is like, no, Sansa is and Littlefinger will end up together? Or do you think that Littlefinger is trying to position for Sansa to marry the Vale, the retarded boy from the Vale, and to connect them? Or do you think
her
he's going to...
cousin?
You could do that. I mean, the Targaryens do it all the time.
Yeah, they could marry cousins in this world.
I don't think that's. Exactly.
I think Littlefinger wants it for himself.
Yeah.
You think he's going to be the closest thing he can get to Caitlyn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he's always been in her ear. All the way from the beginning, even when she was like...
Yeah.
He's like, how old are you now?
He's like, grass on the field?
Yeah. You may be young, but you red.
Grass on the field, play ball. Yeah.
I think that's definitely going to remain a mystery. I don't know what her angle is now.
I think that's going
like
to come out this week.
Getting revenge on Ramsay was her thing. Now what is she
going
to do?
What's she going to do next?
Well, I think that, like, when you looked at that clip from the preview for this week, they were having... some conversation where he was like,
I want you.
Hey, I need the day. I brought an army down here and saved you and your brothers and everybody.
You owe me.
You owe me.
Now run me that.
Yeah, I think something, I don't know what exactly, but something's going to end up happening, and Sansa's going to have to take sides between Littlefinger and Jon.
I think at the end, Littlefinger's end up being like the Hand of the King. Like, I don't know. I just got a feeling he's going to end up, because basically he is moved up strategically by cutting off whoever was a little bit ahead of him. And like, all right, well, I need to cut him off. Cool. Then I can move up to that block. And he's moving. He's basically the king of the Vale. Like, he's not no royalty at all. And moved up to be the de facto king of the Vale.
He's what Ned was supposed to be, the regent, basically, of the Vale. Until the guy comes, like Ned was in
King's Landing.
But it got cut off. But
Ned should have played the game. And that's something about the Stark men. Does it seem like the Stark women are way more strategic in general?
Oh, yeah.
Like, even Catelyn, though, she just got caught up in the bullshit with Jon. Remember, she told him, don't marry this chick. Remember, she was like, don't marry this chick. Do this, do that. She let Lannister twin go. I can't remember his name. Jaime go, because she knew that that was a better strategy. Remember, Rob was like, why do you do that? That was my prison. She's like, no, we need that for this other angle to get your sisters in them back. But Jon, once again, just like Rob, just like Ned, so honor bound or emotionally bound, and you got the women moving and shaking in the whole family.
I see a lot of her mother in Sansa. I mean, she's coming along. I mean, Arya's a certified gangster.
And if you want to get real, most of the Stark men are kind of bitches. If you want to go... No, I'm talking about, like, historically. If you look at it, the reason his brother died is because he was trying to reach out for his dad that was on fire, and they got you chained by your neck, so you strangle yourself to death out of emotion for your dad. Your dad does a trial by combat because he didn't want to go to no trial because he know he's bad. Then he picks fire. The Mad King picks fire. So, like, it doesn't seem like they make a series of bad decisions and start men instead of strategic decisions.
Pride, man. Pride comes before the
world. And maybe that's all their emotions.
Yeah. That's what it just seems like.
I mean, Ned was in a tough spot. Ned kind of got screwed. He made a couple of decisions that was kind of, damn if you do, damn.
Like, his best decision was if R plus L equals J, that to hide Jon Snow. That was his best decision. Mm-hmm. Other than that, what, like strategic or kind of background in the story about the real fight? That too. He lied about that too.
Yeah.
Because remember, he lied about, he was acting like he was the one taking him down on some solo dolo thing.
Arthur Dayne.
Arthur Dayne, yeah. So. But that's it. It seemed like they're not strategic, and the women are killing it, man, in the Stark family. And maybe, they said Lyanna was the same way. Her sister was real strategic and real kind of cunning like that, too. So maybe it's just the Stark men or something like that is kind of real suspect. It might be, because Jon was going to run out there, man. You don't even barely know Rickon. Rickon, 15 years old, you left him when he was 6.
That's still his bro.
Yeah, but you don't even know this little dude. To be running out there like that. Look, Sansa hung out with him way more than you did, and she was willing to let him go. That would be my de facto. Like, okay, you a full blood. That's your full brother. I'm going to go off of what you kind of saying on this.
Well, I think she had resolved that Rickon was going to die, and there was nothing they could do about it, and Jon thought he could save him.
Yeah, Jon wanted to save his little brother. I mean, imagine.
But, like, what y'all want to talk about? What y'all want to talk about? Look at this. Like, I'm just saying, what relation do we have to each other?
You remember.
Rickon could be an asshole.
You remember your little brother when he was 1 to 6, right?
Yeah.
You would try to save his life.
He's not 6, he's 15 at this
point. But I'm saying, though, but like, if you hadn't seen him all that time and all the shit they went through to try to get their family back together, and you see one?
But if I had another sister, though, and she was like, Rickon kind of an asshole. She might have been saying in the low, though, like, he kind of fucked up a lot of stuff, though, when we was hanging around Winterfell. He may not be worth saving.
But to your point, if Rickon had been the biggest asshole in the world, these men are emotional creatures. He would have tried to save him no matter what, even if it was just to beat Ramsay.
Just to beat Ramsay to say we saved him. Mm-hmm. My thing is that Ramsay.
But also, what do you do if you're Jon and that's happening? How can you sit there and have all these people behind you that are going to fight for you, and you don't go and try to save your own brother?
Yeah,
that's the same thing he just said to Ramsay. Like, you won't fight for your men. What will they say when they realize that you won't fight for them? Mm-hmm.
That's true. True.
And then before the end of that, Jon is sitting out there. He took off the belt. They took the sword on, about to take on a whole fleet of horses by himself.
A cavalry.
Because, once again, he ain't scared to die because he knows what's on the other side of it.
Because remember he said it was like nothingness. Remember he was like, it was nothingness.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, man, Jon Snow is ready to do whatever it takes in this fight. And let's talk about the battle itself.
Yeah.
Yo, it got hectic.
No, no. I feel like I was in a battle though. Like I feel like I was like gonna die up under somebody's and shit.
Yeah, I was. It was very intense.
I was sitting there cheering and shit at the TV and shit. I'm like, this is crazy. It's one of the best battles I've seen in a movie, period. Not movie or TV, period.
Yeah. What's the redhead wildling's name?
Oh, man, I can't remember his
Jordan.
Name. Jordan. Yep.
Yeah. That's on the travel commercial.
Looking the exact same.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he has to keep that beard. But yeah, I was so scared.
I thought he was going to die. But I thought he was not about before the battle started. Because him and Davos were like having that long talk about what they do before battle. He's like, I go take shits. The other dude's like, I'll go drink and try to fuck.
Oh, no,
like,
that is a storyline we didn't talk about. With realizing what happened to Stannis' daughter.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name right now.
Yeah,
he's going to kill the Red Woman.
He's going to have... I think she wants to die partly, too,
I think
though.
She does, too. I think she's just confused by what...
Because she ain't had no shadow baby or nothing coming out to come out and help this fight. She just like, all right, I won't bring you back. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I don't know nothing no more.
Yeah.
I brought you back. I don't know what's happening now.
She was like, I serve the Lord of Light, and I'm going to do what he wills me to do. Mm-hmm. But now it's going to be kind of that. I mean, you know there's going to be a showdown there. But yeah, Davos taking that walk. I was like, oh, shit. Davos about to catch that merc beforehand, and Jon going to have even more incentive.
Right. Oh, you thought something was going to happen to him?
Yeah, I thought he was going to catch it while he was out there, you know, walking around their camp or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or Melisandre is going to kill him. Like, hey, I haven't had issues with you for a while. I know you've been talking shit for a long time.
No, I think her strength is gone. She is defeated.
Who? Sansa? Oh, it's more the Red Woman?
Yeah,
she Melisandre's.
I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. It's just when you think somebody's down, though, that they... She's been playing the long game, maybe. I mean, clearly, they're going to have a big thing this week. Mm-hmm. The showdown. But I don't know. I mean, she's going to have to answer for that. And, you know... I don't want to get too far ahead, but there's going to be the thing about me is that, you know, no, we'll talk about this in a second, because clearly Winterfell is transitioning now.
Yeah, it's back to Stark.
That battle was
yes.
Phenomenal.
I mean, it was
realistic. That's what it is like to, you know.
In those real military battles at that time.
Waves of arrows falling down over everybody.
That's how Ramsay was so good. He was so ruthless. He knew that he was hitting his own men with those arrows. He didn't give a fuck. He figured, my numbers are better regardless of whoever getting hit up. Mm-hmm. If more of this, I'll just do the percentage game on this with these arrows.
I got more people to burn.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that proves is like John wasn't really about sacrificing his people, but Ramsay was like, I don't care.
But that's the Napoleonic style of battles, where he would just say, I got 500,000, we just gonna overwhelm you and just keep sending waves and waves of motherfuckers at you, and at some point, y'all gonna just get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to him. Then John, he just chilled in the background and
it was too many people on Ramsay's side. I don't think there's any way strategically they were gonna win that battle.
Just because it's just numbers?
Yeah,
just pure
numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you could tell. I mean, there were mountains of dead people in there.
I mean, literally,
Can you imagine what Winterfell smells like?
Oh. Yeah, what do they do with the bodies there?
Well, they're going to burn them, probably, because they don't want them to be the White Walkers.
Yeah.
So they probably, because I think they're going to burn them. They're going to have to burn them.
Yeah, that would be a...
Oh, that'll be interesting. That would be a pivotal
swap. The Night's King, like, what's that over there?
Is that 500,000 bodies?
Nice kid over there, like, boom. Come on, Ross. And it's looking like Thriller. Like,
John, like, hell no. He's like, I seen what happened. Let's burn the bodies up now.
You see how his men protected him, though?
Oh, yeah.
To keep him down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ramsay just off to the side watching his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John's gangster is solidified. The
thing I think about, if I saw Matt come back to life, oh, I'm going to ride with him too. I don't give a care where he want to go. You saw get stabbed up and he's back. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're going to fight for him.
Yeah.
You're going to get behind him.
I was interested in is that one of my boys was saying he rewatched it and like kept freeze framing it. He said it's half wildling supposedly and half of the Mormonts. So they were saying that he was saying that those 60 did rot. Those are like most of them are like the Mormont and Wildlings. He said like you can look at the crescent and that she wasn't lying that they fight like another 100 something.
I was still holding out hope she was gonna turn into a bear though.
You said you wouldn't turn into a bear
when they had her in the back of the. First of all, let's discuss her for a second.
Hey, man.
She was sitting off on the
she's
side.
She's a steam stealer
on that horse, and she was looking like.
Fuck her right now.
She was like, hey, she was in the back like, fuck all this. All this. We ain't finna do all this yapping. And I just want her to turn into a bear right then and just take on Ramsay like, what the fuck? And it's just...
That's, yeah, but those are supposed to be them soldiers, man, supposedly, man. I mean...
Also, I mean, the war itself, I mean, you could it started off as just like a huge brawl, and they sent everybody in there, but then that's when the numbers game happened, when you saw them like...
Well, no. The numbers game really happened when the second wave...
Yeah.
Because they sent the cavalry in first. It's that third wave that got them fucked up, because that's when Sir John Umbridge and them... start coming, they couldn't even get over the mountain to even like get out of that that bubble. That's what fucked them up. It's him and Sir Little John and them, because they was just sitting up there just chopping people down trying to come over the top of that pile. And then it was like, damn. And then it probably even more for a lot of us, where the people was like, damn, y'all north, these are people really from the north that are fighting other people from the north. They're like, you was riding with us, and y'all are the main ones that made, because if they wouldn't have been there, they probably could have won that battle. They probably could have won that battle. Because it seemed like the Wildlings had better fighting skills. Just pure fighting skills.
Yeah, it was just brawling.
Brawling in there.
John was wrecking shop, though. Everybody that came up to him, he was just like,
he might have stabbed some of his own men on accident.
He was just like,
whoever just runs up, if you don't have, hold my hand on the shoulder and tap me, right. I'm going
to
stab you.
Because it did look like some people were trying to help him. He was just slicing and slicing.
He didn't give
dude was fighting. Two cats was fighting. You cut both of them in half. Like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. One of them dudes you killed was on your side.
It's like a video game with a little X going like, no, that's your man.
Right, yeah. Like, you lose a point when you hit one of your people. It's like, whoa, John, you just cut both of them in half. It's like, I don't have time to care about that.
I'm using this Ramsey principle for a second, like, we're trying to eradicate as many people as we can.
Yeah, I mean, it was a dope fight. I mean, it was.
Do y'all think they could have used the giant better, though?
I thought he
did excellent.
But I'm saying, like, could he have, like, grabbed a tree or something and went into battle with it? No, I'm saying that we could have made him a tree, like a lance, almost. You know what I mean? And he could have just been wiping out folks.
Yeah.
You could use him like a little tank, like a little artillery tank, sending him in behind y'all and just start wiping out people.
The thing I liked about what that giant was doing is he was standing there on those shields and was just like, forget it. Yeah. Y'all put this stuff up, I'm pulling people in here.
Coming to the party.
Yeah, get your ass in here and get some of this merch. But they were like, their tactics were so impressive, because they had that first line of shields pushing the front line of shields, and then they had more people behind that.
And they had a top shield too, though, for any archery or arrows on the top part. So, because I watched the behind the thing. So basically, one man is holding the shield like this. There's a man behind you here, and then both of you all are holding this shield, and then there's one person under you with the that's behind all three of y'all with the lance that's going like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it, like, basically, all my job is to hold this top part with homeboy behind me. I'm holding this front part. He got my back, and then somebody else is just stabbing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's just.
Brilliant.
Like, yeah, you can't get hit.
It was impressive. I mean, that was it was pure will against, you know, against superior tactics and against superior, you know, manpower.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they had to fight from underneath the entire time, you know. So, but I mean, also, but here's the thing, though, and the thing that really
you can't never discount is that John and his, and specifically John, he was fighting with initiative, like he was fighting to regain something that, you know, that
some
was
part of himself
taken
that he's
from
missing.
Him. Yeah, exactly. You know, John's been fighting from behind his whole life. You know, like,
hey, no, that's real.
Like, he's been the underdog his whole life. Even at home, he's been made to feel like it's not his home. Like, he's never had a home. You know, the wall probably is the closest thing to a home he ever really had. And they stabbed him in the courtyard of his crib, his own people, when he was doing the right thing for them. You know.
Yeah.
So, like, that happens. Like, this is a dude that finally sees a chance to take back what, you know, is his rightful home, what he sees as his inheritance. And, I mean, he fought
from up underneath like crazy. And that was a hell of a moment. It's got to be one of the great wars in that, mythos of that whole, you know, universe.
Supposedly, the fight between Robert and Rhaegar is supposed to be epic like that.
I believe it.
That's what that battle, because it's over a river, too. So think about something like that, though, but we fighting over like a shallow river, like a little creek river. We fighting over like a shallow creek.
Mm-hmm.
With that same kind of epicness, but over a shallow creek. So,
instead of out there fighting the North Faces at Winterfell.
And they were wearing like the full joints. Like, I'm talking about the full
armor.
Yeah. That's because that was the only way that Robert was able to kill him, was with that hammer.
Wow.
Yeah, with that big hammer.
I think so far on the show, though, that's the biggest
battle, I think, so
far. Oh, by far, yeah.
Like, if you look at a day of just pure battles, let's not underscore what happened with Danny. She was like, all right, yeah, because we need to come back to Winterfell.
Yeah, we can come back to Winterfell.
Like, she was like, it was everything I hoped would happen. Like, you sitting there watching that conversation, and they're like, yeah, we got you, bitch. Like,
but it's fucked up for Tyrion, like, though. I felt bad for Tyrion, because he really did do the right thing in that situation.
Well, she gave him his props.
No, she was like, all right, cool. I'm going to do it my way. And then he's like, hold on, let me give you one more thing to think about before you just go eradicate cities. And then that's when they kind of, I guess they found a balance between diplomacy and death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But when I was sitting there looking at that conversation, I'm looking in the background like, damn, it's going down back there. And
you can see the dragon. You saw the dragon in the background.
Shoot up. I was like, oh shit, it's about to.
It's so funny, though. I think they did it on purpose because they don't see it as the master sitting there. They're like, oh yeah, bitch, you finna lay down real quick. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, we're going to negotiate your surrender.
Yeah. And you see him jump up and you're like, oh, this ain't gonna go good.
Dragon land on top of that thing. Them cats was like,
why did they think that she was just gonna hand over the dragons? Do they really understand?
I don't think that they really know it's dragons for real.
They said this is what you're gonna do, and one of the things was you're gonna kill your dragons.
I think that they didn't think that Drogon, they were that big though.
Yeah.
You gotta remember when they saw Drogon in the arena, he was the size of the ones that jumped out. They were like a little bit. This dude jumped out is the
He still came down there and burned everything down, though. So why would you think that they wouldn't have some sort of power?
I just think they thought they, like, you know, we still won, you know.
Because they invested in the tools that they believe, you know, equal strength. Ships and might and all that. And she's like, yo.
They did not know that Dothraki Horde was going to come run up to
them.
A scene that wasn't a war. Well, I guess we could talk about Theon and Yara showing up too, but when she, all I wanted was for her to jump on the back of one of the dragons. And first of all, yo, her thighs have to be the power of 10,000 snow frost giants, because she's straight riding a dragon that's flying around swooping, and she has no harness on this cat. Nothing else, and they just are burning the shit out of these ships. The look on that dude's face when
they only burned two ships. And you notice it was strategic. Because they wanted to take the other ships.
That's true, yeah.
They were strategic about it.
That dude turned around and saw that dragon, like, how did my life end up?
No. And that's the fucked up part. They were like, yeah. Like, they was like doing their thing, they was like, oh, shit. Like, you gonna see, like, the despair, like, I can't get off of here, right?
I'm finished. I'm screwed. So, yeah, I mean, did you see that? That's an interesting alliance, though, for Theon and Yara to get there so quick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it seems like they clicked right off the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that she's going to have sex with Yara, though.
That'd be dope.
Yeah, I know. I'd like to see that, too.
I'd be down for that.
That would be so pointless.
But they're both, pansexual. Both of them are pansexual, so, you know. Same thing as, Oberyn was. Oberyn was pansexual, too, so.
Yeah, they don't look at stuff that way. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've seen a lot of articles write about how they could potentially join up like that, but I don't know if they... There's so many things. Her story is so fluid right now. There's so many things.
About Daenerys?
Everybody wants to get close to her in one way or another, so I'm interested to see what happens with that.
So what y'all think about the negotiation process when you saw
what happens when women negotiate versus how men try to negotiate.
That's true. Men fucking it up. This is all
Tyrion played a big part in that.
Because she wanted to kill everybody. She wanted to kill everybody. She wanted to go to all the city states and just burn them all up and keep it moving.
Yeah, it's like, if you're going to rule, that's the thing that, like, Dario was saying about you're a conqueror, not a ruler.
Who I still don't trust.
I don't know. At this point, I think he's pretty straight at this point. We would have got figured out at this point.
I still think he has an ulterior motive, or he's going to see some people moving into a position he doesn't like, and he's going to
turn. Oh, and he could turn on her later on, but I don't think he's like Sons of Heartbeat or like we thought before.
Yeah. Maybe not, but there's some about his character I just don't trust. He's not down for the long haul.
Having all four of those characters in that room at the same time is important, because there was crisscrossing interests between all four of them, and like to see Tyrion bring up his past with Theon from 7 years ago, you know, that's, you know, that was big that crossover happened 7 seasons ago.
I think it's probably about 7 years, but around there. I think it's like 5 to be exact.
So, like, you know, that was important that he was there to kind of speak about that part so that, you know, they could have that. But, you know, Yara has just been rising in prominence on the show, like, all year. It's been kind of like important to see where she stands and how she fits into this. And now, if that means that, it seems like that means that the whole thing with Euron is just going to be how if they are really clicked up and they the homies now. What's the point? What's the point? He can't fight unless he brings the ruckus. Like, if he brings the 1,000 ships for real, you know, how is he
bringing boats out of?
Space? But they don't have but the Iron Islands don't have a lot of population though. So it doesn't matter. Even if you have 1,000, it'd be one person on every boat.
So it's like, is he just gonna show up now and just get wiped out? Like, I feel like that's not gonna be.
I think they're gonna go towards him though.
Okay.
Or maybe even split. They might even split up the forces and be like, hey.
I mean, she asked for the Iron Islands. She said, this is what we want back. Maybe that's another battle. I don't think it'll be a bad one.
Because I think Varys is going to Dorne right now to negotiate them to go through the Dorne. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing of, like, I wonder if they'll split the forces at some point and say, well, I need to use half his Dothraki horde to go up here to get the Iron Islands back. And then they split half of them and go towards King's Landing. After you're done with that, meet me down at King's Landing type thing. I'm not sure, but I think that's what Varys is going to do now, negotiate that situation, you know, back in with Dorne. Which is going to be interesting, because shit, Dorne is run by, well, I guess he can get around and say, I don't have no cock either, so. I can see him saying that back, like, you know,
card.
This is not run by, you know.
Not a card I'm interested in playing.
But I can see him saying that to her. She's like, this is not a land run by men, people with cock. He's like, I don't have a cock either. So let's talk.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
That'll be interesting to see if she respects Daenerys' power, how she takes that.
Good point. Yeah. I wonder how she would. She may like it. Mm-hmm. You know, because Dorne's got to come into play at some point, because that just seemed like that was pointless now almost to kill off everybody in Dorne.
Yeah, I think that's the long game. I definitely think Dorne was the long game by how that comes off now, because they'll reemerge. There's been too many critical moments that have happened there.
Without them being involved in it.
Yeah, and people expect it. Like, and plus, it's a fascinating, you know, plot twist. Like, the things that have happened there have been really kind of tough to call. So I think it'll come back up. I think that so many things have happened this year that were urgent. Like, loops needed to be tied off. Things needed to be straightened up. I mean, I guess that takes it back to Winterfell.
Yes.
Yo, that final scene.
Ooh, I think everybody was probably at home shadowboxing their TV.
Yep.
when they got to the door, and I was like, oh, damn, they made it all the way up there already. Like, chasing them up to the thing, and you hear that giant hitting that door. I was like, God, nobody's died a more gangster death.
Before you even go in there, where's Ghost at this whole time?
I think
I was waiting for him to run out and, like, eat a whole bunch of people or something like
that. I think he held them back.
He saw what happened to everybody else's diary. When he saw Shaggy Dog, he thought, he's like, I was actually going to bring him to battle.
Yeah,
but since
Ghost,
y'all cutting off Narmal heads, I'm going
to
keep it back.
He needs Ghost when they get back to Winterfell. Like, you need to have that.
You need the personal bodyguard at that point.
Yes. I mean, John might be the most insulated person next to Danny of all time.
Talking about nobody like, being
like,
by himself.
He got people on his side. Like,
yeah.
They riding for him. But, you know, when they got there, you know, Ramsay and those guys are going back and thought they were safe. And then that giant just knocks down the thing and then comes in. And they had to hit him with more than anything I've ever seen in my life.
But you got to think he had been hitting battle, too.
Yeah.
Because the lances were getting
was getting wrecked. Like, but he had all the spears and all the arrows in him when he got there.
My thing is, though, people are mad because he shot him instead of shooting John. I was like, actually, I would have shot the giant, too, because he wouldn't necessarily know guarantee he was finna die.
Right.
He was sitting there because John looked at him like, good looking, we got you, maybe. Like, kind of like, maybe he... We don't know. I would have shot the giant, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take my chances with a regular man anytime than this giant that may have just hit his paw out and everything, and then I'm dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People are like, why didn't you shoot the arrow at Jon Snow instead of him? I was like, because it's a giant.
Because it's an instinctually, if I'm looking at a man,
oh shit! Yeah, exactly. And y'all got, and the people
I think he saw it as another opportunity to take away strength that he had too.
Yeah.
It was his biggest weapon. It was the biggest weapon he had left. I mean, but Jon, Jon. Like, when he decided to buck up to John, John was just like, whatever, give me this.
Yeah.
Keep shooting.
Yeah.
Keep shooting. I was like, try
because
to
he's a good archer, though. Y'all remember from other episodes, he's a good archer.
I was like, shoot him in the leg.
But I think he knew it was over at that point, so he was just trying to...
When he hit him in the neck with that shield, though.
Yeah.
I was like, Damn.
And then some people were saying that the reason John didn't kill him because he looked at signs and he didn't want to kill him. I'm like, no, I think it's like, he was like, yeah, he was like, no, man. I mean, I'm mad at this motherfucker. Well, but you really got real beef.
I thought she asked him to, you know, save him for her, too.
Yeah, well, she said, she's the one that gave him the threat and said, you're going to die tomorrow afternoon at 12:15.
And then rolled off. She was like,
that's my promise.
After school tomorrow.
Yeah.
After school tomorrow, we in that ass. And drove off to the side. I was like, damn. Because they was talking. They were still talking. Sansa was like, fuck all this.
Yeah, you dead tomorrow at 12:15. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:15. Mm-hmm. So what y'all think about his death, Ramsay's death?
It's cool.
I thought it was fitting.
It was fitting.
It was satisfying.
I mean, he's so terrible.
It'd have been nice to cut his dick off first, though.
I thought the same thing, and I told Matt that. He said he can never condone another man's dick.
I know, but it would have been dope if they'd have took his dick off and put it in his mouth.
That's exactly what I said.
That would have been, you know, I wonder if that was the initial one. They're like, we can't do that. We can't put a man's dick in his mouth on
they're
TV.
Trying to win an, even they're trying to win an Emmy
for this episode.
They're not cutting off anybody's dick, and I'm definitely not putting it in his mouth. But I was hoping, I thought it was poetic justice that his dogs ate him.
Oh,
but I was like, I wish that they would have put him in that room, and Ghost would have walked out the back dick.
That would have been gangster.
And that's
though.
What I was like.
Ghost What if Ghost would have came? No, Ghost didn't kill him. He just led the pack. And just stood there posted up like, I eat well every day. These for the little homies.
It was good that he was you know, bragging, my dogs are hungry. I haven't fed them for 7 days.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That dog walked up and looked him in his face and looked at him and then just bit a piece of his jaw off. I was like.
Oh, it reminded me of The Color Purple when Miss Sigley was like, the jail you planned for me.
Miss Sigley.
That's what it reminded me of.
Miss Sigley, the jail you planned for me.
The one you'll ride in, that was Sansa's moment.
See, I think Sansa, do you think she's going to run Winterfell now? Since everything is kind of... I think those other lords, though, too, going to have to fall in line, too, though. And I think a lot of them going to come back like, man, we fucked up. I'm sorry, G.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, the future of Winterfell now, I'm interested to see how that plays out this week because, I mean, they're really starting over from scratch. I mean,
but I think it's going to reposition stuff, though, because you got to think the Karstarks and the Umberlees were, like, they're, like, right neck and neck with them in the Joiners, which is the group that decided not to come.
Yes,
now you have Mormont's going to be sitting in a good position, like, whatever y'all need.
Here.
Yeah. We all 60 of us still made it out of this bitch.
Yeah, no Mormonts died.
Yeah.
And all the Mormonts live.
And all the little small little families that came.
I want her to walk in like about halfway through the episode, like, yeah, we had 2 people die. But they was old already. I'm gonna be like, damn.
They were 72 and 68. Yeah, they actually tripped on the way.
Everybody else is all good, G. We about to ride.
And it'll be like, remember, I'm gonna get you sucked. They actually tripped on the way to the battle. Like,
yeah,
they fell off arrows. They actually didn't die on the battlefield.
Right.
That was just our fault.
He had bad conditioning. He ate some bad bear meat the night before. I'm interested to see how Winterfell repositions now because, I mean, obviously they're going to kill all of Ramsay's people that are remaining. They're done. And then after that point, I mean, who do you have there? I mean, you've got
the numbers are low.
You've got the wild ones.
But you got to think a lot of those other houses didn't come in and help out. It's a lot, maybe like 10 or 12 other houses that didn't come and help out. So they can galvanize those.
See, but how do you...
But you can get... You can ask... Let's keep the... what is it? I think it was... Is it Harrenhal, I think, that the Boltons owned? I think that's what they own. You can give that to the wildlings and say, yo, this is y'all joint. This is y'all joint. Y'all have that castle and the land around it. Y'all deserve it.
Like, I mean, do the wildlings want to stay? Do they go back to the wall?
No. They want the other side of the wall because of the White Walkers.
Yeah.
So they want that insulation on the wall. So you can give them that, or you can even split some wildlings and give them that because you got the Karstarks area that's there, yours, and the Umberlees. So all three of those castles are up for grabs now. They're like... Sansa and Jon get the position who they want to take those over.
And there's also a bunch of uninhabited castles that are there too. They can start new kingdoms.
Littlefinger is not going to let that happen.
Yeah.
He's not going to allow that smoothness to occur.
See, that's
like this ain't going to be as a quick delegation.
It's not enough drama.
Littlefinger wants Winterfell.
Yeah.
Like Littlefinger wants Sansa so that
he's
can have
to come in here and fuck everything.
That's what he does. This is the same thing he did with the Tullys. Like he went to their castle and then like he's gonna try to join them together and then he's gonna want to be the king of Winterfell.
And he'll still be the de facto king of the Vale too.
He's trying to become the most powerful man in the North and he's just not doing it through battle. He's just doing it through acquisition.
There are no real heroes in Game of Thrones.
Because I think he's gonna somehow still fight figures when he become like the hand of the king, though, or something like some way.
Jon Snow's a hero. He's never been misstepped anything. He's 100% legit.
But my thing is, people want him to be a king. He's not king material. He's not going to be a king.
I mean, he'll be...
Look, he fuck around and might go back to the Night's Watch at the end of this whole series and be the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch again.
I think he's done with that. I don't know exactly what his path is.
But where else would he kind of fit in, though?
I think he needs to go figure it out. That's what he wants to do.
Jon Snow.
Or maybe he just wanders, you're saying, after everything.
I don't see why he can't stay at Winterfell if he wants to.
I guess he could just stay.
I don't think he has to have a greater political aspiration.
But if him and Sansa are starting to get into it and they have a small rift, he's like, you know,
I think he's going to find out about what went down, though. There could be another battle for the North.
a second civil war.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there could be more issues to get sorted out between Littlefinger and Jon. Those are two completely different styles of going about.
Because I could see Littlefinger being a good general too, though. But definitely not on the Ramsay stuff, though. Like on some way more sophisticated kind of battling style.
Littlefinger would be the type of dude
poison you or something.
He'd be the type of dude that would be able to link up with Daenerys' whole situation put together there.
Yeah, because like the girl that was battling me, I was talking about before, online is this big Game of Thrones fan. She was saying that why didn't they send somebody to Winterfell to poison Ramsay before? And I'm like, that's what would be the fucking point of the show? Game of Thrones to do to some shit like that.
That would have been so anticlimactic.
That's like saying, why doesn't everybody have a kryptonite gun?
Yeah! Like, just go out to shoot Superman.
You gotta have a certain level of suspension of disbelief.
Yeah! And it's like, she was saying it was so lame that they came in at the end. It's like, that's every movie, every TV show that somebody comes at the end.
The Veil came in with on gangster levels.
And you gotta think about that. That wasn't even the Veil. Remember that he said that Veil has, the third biggest army? He said that?
Yeah.
That wasn't even a whole army. That was just the cavalry.
They're behind what?
That wasn't the archers. That wasn't the infantrymen.
They're
that wasn't
the army in King's Landing and then the Lannisters army,
right?
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean,
it goes to... Well, the Lannisters, they don't consider the army in King's Landing anybody's army because this is like considering the CIA or like Secret Service an army. So it goes the Lannisters, then the Tyrells, then the Vale.
Yeah, okay.
Is there like a newspaper that goes out and everybody else gonna find out what's happening?
I guess, man. I mean, the Lannisters are deep too. You see how they were up on the Blackfish with that army, and that was only a third of their army.
Yeah, what are they gonna think of all of this?
I don't know. I can see Jaime being like, and with Brienne, though, like, I thought she might have showed up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that journey was gonna take.
Podrick is still rowing that boat with those little 2x4s.
Podrick is one of the great slaves in the history of TV.
Because he just rides wherever his wrist
rolls. He just does whatever is asked of him. He's a manvin. He's the ultimate manvin.
Manvins.
Yeah. I need one of those.
Yeah, this is interesting. I wonder if they're going to run into the brothers of the banner, brothers without banners, though, on the way back. And do they get word of what's going on because she feels right now
she's failed her.
Yeah. But my thing is, though, even if she would have got the Blackfish involved, they wouldn't have got there in time regardless.
Yeah, it seemed like.
But you know what? They might have pushed it a little bit after she sent the letter saying, I can't do it. Maybe they could have fell back and we could chill the Blackfish on his way.
We don't have anything else. Because that's what they're talking about.
Well, Sansa actually did say that she was like, we should have waited. So maybe she did know, thinking back to that. Maybe she did know Littlefinger was on his way.
Yeah, because it's like, John was like, we got to attack now because we don't want them to go back into Winterfell. I was like, And I guess it's like, you know, somebody being in your crib, you don't want to bust your own crib up, and then you got to rebuild it, like, afterwards, well, I got them out, but half the crib is gone, you're sitting outside. So, I'm interested in how this all is going to play out coming up, because Daenerys is going to make her move. Do we see the Night's King again? You know.
Are they going to wrap up Bran's story? They're going to wrap up Arya's story?
I think Arya's done for this year. I don't think she.
The thing is, I was wondering about, you see in the previews that they got another almost Red Wedding style setup with Walter Frey, though. Yeah. I wonder if Jaime is like, yeah, I'm fucking around with you, dude.
Yeah, well, Arya is back to her list. So.
Yeah. So what if she had caught a couple of faces in her bag or something and is, you know, shows up and just splits Walter Frey's throat?
Did you think she does that on the way to Winterfell? Because she said she's going to Winterfell.
Yeah.
She's made that very clear. She's going to Winterfell. She's not going to King's Landing. She says, I'm going home. So, Cersei's on that list, but she's not going to touch her right now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's plenty of people to go. This week is, I think this week's gonna be a rapid fire thing. It's gonna be the longest show.
Yeah, and it's just gonna be just different. Just
a lot of thing, and then I think there's gonna be an introduction of some sort of twist at the end of this thing that's gonna date nobody sees.
Well, I think it. What I think it is that we haven't seen Samwell Tarly in a while, and when it's at the Citadel, they have these things called, I think, white doves that they send out and let people know that winter is here, that it's not coming and it's here, like. We need to figure out, like, because I guess all these maesters are going to be there, I figure. And they're like, yo, when, because Samwell, they don't know what's really happened. Samwell's the only one that's seen the White Walkers. So I'm just thinking that he's going to go there and be like, yo, no, I've seen them. I've killed one. John's killed some. Oh, and then give them all these, well, damn, winter's here. It's not coming. And they send all these doves out, and everybody knows, like, okay, well, maybe we need to stop fucking around with each other and get ready for the impending situation.
That would be the type of thing that make them have to, first of all, start to believe in the White Walkers. It's been so long that they don't even believe that they exist.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, that's the thing I think is going to be the mainstream of what happens next year. You know, Bran is learning all that stuff right now.
Yeah.
He's wrapping up so that he can reemerge and be what he needs to be. So, I don't know, but this week, I mean, obviously, you know, yeah, that thing, something's going to happen with Walter Frey and Jaime. Jaime's going to walk away, like, all right, we gave you what you wanted, what's going to happen now? What do you think happened? I think George R. R. Martin gave them his...
Yeah, he gave them the blueprint of what he wants, who
I think he
die.
Gave them the turning point of what's going to happen in the next book, and they're going to unleash it in this episode.
Yeah, because my thing is that I think it's going to be all women running everything. Like, at the end of the day, because I think that Tommen's going to die, and... Marjorie's going to be like the de facto queen until maybe she's pregnant or something like that, and she has she's the queen regent until.
What's going to happen there?
I think Tommen's going to die. I think that wildfire situation is going to get popped off.
You think Cersei would kill her own son?
I think she's going to accidentally kill her son, and then it's going to piss off Jaime. Like, the fuck you doing? And then
think Jaime would kill his son.
You think before that?
I think Jaime would kill Tommen
if he messes with
Cersei.
I don't think Jamie's gonna get back.
He's not gonna be back. He's gonna hear about whatever happens.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, this week, I mean, the thing, I think Melisandre's burning of the girl comes out, and then they gotta sort out however they need to between Sansa and Littlefinger. It's gotta get sorted out, and then after that, you know, anything can happen. I mean, you're going to have that trial.
Yeah, that's what we're having coming up, yeah.
Yeah, the trial is going to happen. And what does she do? Does she just unleash it in that trial? She kill herself?
or maybe, like I said, she needs to ride out. I don't know why she ain't rolled out before. That's pride like a motherfucker. You could ride back to Castle Rock and be posted up with, you got the biggest army, and just be like, come get me then.
Yeah.
Just come get me then. Do you want to send the forces to come get me? I'm at Castle Rock chilling.
Yeah, one of the things...
Come get me.
One of the things I read said somebody of the High Sparrow, Tommen, Cersei, Margaery, or Loras, somebody is going to die.
Well, I mean, I think Loras, I thought Loras was going to die already, because Iron Fist in the Netflix series, so.
Yeah.
But out of those other four, who do you see going?
I think Tommen, man.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about the next king or queen of King's Landing, if anything sells out, is going to be like the next president. Almost, they can get like two or three Supreme Court nominees, because somebody's got to be designated Dragonstone. You still got to designate somebody to a couple other different places that are big, that they lost their kings, or they're kind of like have people that are sitting there as regents, and you get to designate all these people that's run, especially Dragonstone. You got, that's where you can get the glass set to kill the White Walker. That's an important area, and that's what Baratheons. They don't have anybody except for Gendry. That's where I think he may come involved.
How many seasons has it been
since season 2? Yeah. But he's on that boat still waiting. He's still on that boat rowing
and
somewhere.
Gendry been on a boat for 4 seasons. That brother gonna be, that's gonna be,
hey, you see how big he's gonna be? Be like, where you been rowing?
Like, that brother arm's gonna look like Popeye. Like, Gendry's back as Popeye for season 8
rowing, big as hell rowing. And that's why I wonder, like, what's going on Arya, cause that's Arya's kind of little crush is Gendry. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, that's how you can kind of I'm just trying to wonder how everything kind of gets.
Oh, you know what? I take that back. Arya could show up in this episode. I think that Arya is going to be the one that is going through. I think that there's going to be an intersection between Arya, Brienne, and the Brothers Without Banners.
Yeah, something.
And that's going to be when Lady Stoneheart show up.
Yeah, because that was one of the predictions I heard, that actually Arya and Bran are both going to end up in Winterfell. All the remaining Stark kids are going to be together right before shit hits the fan.
See, I don't think Bran is, though, because just based off what Benjen said when he said, your battle is at the wall. Mm-hmm. Like, so I think he's going to be on the other side of the wall. And I mean,
where the Night's Watch is are right before the wall, like kind of like in the cut away from the wall.
Yeah.
Or where the Night Watch is, like basically posted where you think of the Night Watch.
I think he's gonna have to meet him at the wall.
Like literally, like yeah. Like at the wall.
Yeah. Like, and honestly, I think that that's where John's future. He could go back. I don't think he goes back to the wall to stay, but he will go back to the wall to fight the walkers, and that's where he could run across Bran again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the end of the series type of stuff right there, you know. So that's what I think could happen. I don't think all that happens tomorrow, obviously, but you know, I think that you could see Arya and the Hound being back. You gotta bring them back. He's been doing the entire time has been like, yeah, this chick took me out. like he's been ultra salty like the entire time.
He can't believe a woman took him out.
He's changed.
Wait till the chick that took him out show up.
I don't think he's gonna try to hurt her though.
No, he don't.
We gonna fuck a fight. That's what he's gonna ask. Are we gonna fight?
Are we grilling?
Oh, you can whoop my ass? I mean, I kind of liked it. You know, you whoop my ass and shit, you know.
I think that there will be a showdown there, and then I think that Lady Stoneheart could show up, man, and really...
That would be crazy, man.
Because they owe it to people. She's too big of a character in the mythos of the series to just be out of it. But I don't think she has anything to do. Like, she just shows up, season over.
Mm. Like, saying, that type of thing. That's why you're saying that they're saying that she's not technically in the season because she don't say anything or do anything.
Right,
just,
like...
She just comes around a bush or something, like, I'm here.
Like when fucking Luke Skywalker showed up at the end of...
How did she come back to life?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
And that dude that be whispering in people's ears.
Yeah, no. Okay, so what the Brotherhood banners come... So basically, Nymeria, which is... what you call it?
Arya's
Direwolf, pulls her body out of the water. Because, you know, Nymeria's been wandering, collecting other wolves and just being a badass and stuff, though. So she just, is that Mom Dukes? And pulls her out the water. The Brotherhood banners roll up and we're like, damn. What's going on? Like, this is such and such. So, the dude, Davios, or whatever, he gives his life to her.
Okay, one that keeps coming back to life.
Yep, he gives his life source to her. Okay. And then the other dude that keeps giving back, though. Yeah, his man friend. He's the one that starts bringing her back. But the thing is, she got cut in the throat, so she can't talk. Okay. She can only talk by holding her hand over her throat. Okay. But so it's like real raspy, like a dude that's got the little... That's how I envisioned it when I just, in my mind, even though it's not electricity, it just felt like that would be cool, like that she was like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and her whole thing was hanging people. That's why they keep showing them hanging people. That's all she wanted to do is hang people. Uh-huh. Like, if you had a dinner with a Frey, she would kill you type shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know Walter Frey? Did you try to kill him? No. Kill him. That's how gangster she was. So that's how she came back. So Nymeria is still running around out here, putting in work. Would it be even better if she matches back up with Nymeria though? Like, are you my dog? Do you know me?
Oh, they're gonna know. That dog would be big as hell.
Oh, no. She's the biggest direwolf without all of them. Mm-hmm. Her and Ghost are.
So, like, I think that you could have that happen and, like, that, you know, that moment could happen. The things are gonna happen in King's Landing. That could be. Anything could happen there. Anytime I see Walter Frey sitting in that little Shang Tsung style throne he's got in that room and all the people
Shang Tsung.
All the people just sitting around looking at him like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
While his little underage concubines and shit. He's the ultra creep.
He's like, outlived like six wives or something crazy like that.
We should do this next week after the last show, but Walter Frey is certainly R. Kelly.
He's got to be, right?
Yeah, he has.
Because he outlived everybody. Yeah. He keeps on making himself relevant.
The thing I wanted to know...
He consistently stays relevant in the middle of it.
The only thing I wonder about is if you get... It doesn't seem to fit, and I thought a few weeks ago it might happen, whether the whole thing with the flashbacks and the Tower of Joy ends up getting...
You
can end the season that way with Bran figuring that out. That would be a way to bring him back. I don't think the Night's King has anything left to do this year.
Yeah, unless he just shows up at the wall or something, like outside the wall, like with the troops.
I mean, is they going to announce winter is coming? Fat ass scene of all of the White Walkers meeting the wall would be serious, but damn, that's a hell of a big
You just came out of a big ass budget from episode 9.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a hell of a
time. And like all the dragons and all that stuff. When you had a lot of money spent on episode 9.
I think
that, it might always be dialogue and some. It might all be like all candlelight stuff.
HBO.
For episode 10.
HBO.
Everything's gonna be by candlelight.
They got steel. They got like steel pictures of cats. Like, we couldn't afford to pay to pay Jamie Lannister for this episode, so we're gonna use this old footage of him. Like, Jamie got his hand back.
Right.
This is. Hell, like, no, but I think there's gonna be a lot of things that happen. I know that historically on the show, 10 is a letdown from 9 when it comes to episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's just because 9 is like so crazy. Like, when you think about, last thing I want to ask though is like that episode, that was the most hyped episode in the history of Game of Thrones. Like, period.
Yeah.
When you look,
Blackwater was real hyped up too though. But I don't think a lot of people was watching the show.
Did you hear about what the show did? It was the most viewed TV show of all time.
It is?
Oh, yeah. Really?
It passed the Ozymandias episode of Breaking Bad.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, most reviewed, most viewed TV show.
Wow.
Yeah, in a week already.
Oh, so, wow.
It was the most, its hype was incredible about what all went into that show. So,
it'd be MASH and shit? Like the MASH finale? I know MASH finale.
No, not on raw viewership numbers.
Oh, it's hard to say. Yeah, because like, there's so many times. Yeah, time.
But like when you look at like on-demand views and like all the times it had, it did like 10,000 more reviews and views than even that Breaking Bad, pivotal show on Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
But the thing I say is that I look at that and I was like, it's different because it's a highlight show in the history of the... There's been a couple shows this year I think have been highlight shows like in the history of like that show, like when Danny burned down the Dothraki temple, you know, and all of that stuff. Or like, go back to season 1, how that season ended when she just had the dragons.
And the eggs come out of
there. Yeah, like that was a big finish for seasons, for, you know, like, oh god, that's legit. Like, this is...
Yeah, this ain't no playing around. Like, yeah.
These dragons are real. You know?
And Ned being killed, too, in season 1.
That was episode 9, too, wasn't it? Yeah, so Ned,
that's the one where you was like, oh, this is a real
action.
When did
Jamie get his hand cut off?
Episode 8, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, season 2.
So, Jamie got his hand cut off then. When was the Red Wedding? Was that a 9?
9.
So, like...
The best episode 10 was last season when Jon Snow was killed.
Yeah,
are the most surprised.
Yeah, that one, that and Danny were the two that I remember the most.
Those were both last season.
When the dragons were born, season 1.
Oh, born. Okay, I thought you meant because last.
The one season ended with them dragons flying around. I was like, "The fuck is this?
Yeah,
is this a happy ending? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want this." Did last season?
Last season episode ended, 10. Yeah, that's when Dragon came up there and.
They grabbed him out of
out of the pit.
That battle.
Mm-hmm. And then the scene after that was when Jon died. Mm-hmm.
Right after that.
So when I look at like episode 9 of this year, it's I don't. Maybe I'm being nostalgic, or maybe just because it was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen on a TV show. Still, the Red Wedding still is the just the episode where I'm like,
there were too many happy endings on season 9. I mean, on episode 9.
I was like,
so
what? Huh? Like, that still stands out like that. So, I don't know if it surpassed the Red Wedding as the top episode.
If you read the book, though, man, it was even more crazier, man. Like, I remember, I just threw that shit down. I was in my dorm room. I was like, fuck out of here, dude. But they fucked him up, though, in the book version, though. Because they took the direwolf and put the head on his body.
On Jon Snow's body? I mean, on Rob's body?
Yeah, on Rob's body.
Wait, what?
They cut the direwolf head off. You know, you saw it. Yeah. But they put his head... And sold it on his body, though. Like,
what?
So, like, Rob's body is hanging up, and then the head is connected to it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
One thing, then they threw
Catelyn's body into the lake.
One thing that happened in this episode, though, that kind of, Jon was like, take Rickon down to bury him next to our father.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ramsay ain't go down there and fuck all that up. Like.
He didn't think of that one.
But, I mean.
Like, if I was Ramsay Bolton, which is gross.
Mm-hmm.
I would have went down there and ruined all of that.
like how most rulers are going in this, like, especially you move in your new house and you redecorate, like, leaving one room, like...
Yeah, like, I moved in here and I left that front room, like, we'll just leave that.
Yeah,
fuck that. This is my...
Or what if you're scared to go in the basement, though? Like, that's when the situation is, like, it's not my area, it's, like, all that ghosts down there. They'd be like, oh, well, I just won't go down there.
Yeah,
until I kill all the stars.
I kind of caught that, and, like, for 2 seconds, I was like, really?
Maybe he's scared of the basement, though. Because you got to think about it. Like, I got to get all these starts out the way before I go down there and start redecorating.
Mm, that's true. It could be good. But anyway, I thought the episode was big. I would put it in the top episodes.
It's definitely third. The Red Wedding hit two more, though. I guess the Red Wedding hit two more.
Yeah. Red Wedding and when Dad got his head cut off, were both two of the biggest, like...
Wow.
Yeah, like, this is crazy.
Yeah, I was just like, damn, dude, this is like... I remember, like, this is a tight spot he's in. How is he going to get out of this? Oh, he's not getting out of this.
Yeah.
And, oh, this is not a happy
ending. And then the Red Wedding, I just didn't see coming. Like, this... I kind of get what people say when they're like, oh, this is kind of predictable. But it still was a... I figured that that would kind of be the outcome, that they would win their fight. But that doesn't make it any less of a good
episode.
Right. I mean, it was rewarding. But I think that some of the ways that Game of Thrones has gone so far is it makes people semi-pessimistic, too. Like, this can't possibly work out.
No, that's going to be good. Nothing you got to have some high moments, though.
Yeah, to keep your viewers engaged.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, they'd kill Jon Snow. Like I said, they would have, half the viewership would have dropped
the
next
week. What was the point of that?
Yeah, like, they would have, you would have had that. You think the whole thing about the House of Many Faces had people like, what the fuck is this? You kill Jon Snow again? It's going to be like, all right.
I think that's going to be coming to play more. I think people are undercutting that, the House of Many Faces part.
What's that?
I think it's going to come into play. Like, it's going to be like a part of her learning stuff, though.
Oh, I think that was the whole purpose. I think that was the whole purpose.
I think you, whoever said she got some faces in her bag, I think you might be.
Yeah, man.
She got some faces in my bag. Swag. Like, hold on. She kind of crazy.
So, next week, who dies next week?
Ray, who you got? Obviously, Marjorie's brother. Possibly Tommen.
Marjorie's gonna be the queen, man. I don't care. That's my prediction. She's gonna be the queen. It's gonna be a woman at every on every throne in Westeros,
except for the Baratheons.
She'll fuck around. Marjorie's the Supreme Court. I mean, the president. She gets to pick who's on that throne.
That's true.
Yeah. And if I had to pick a surprise death, I would say Cersei.
But see, my only problem is we need some more villains, man. We've like with Ramsay being dead.
Yeah.
I mean, with
Jaime being an anti-hero.
Yeah. We need, like, almost you can't have Walter Frey die almost, because you need, like, somebody to dislike.
Walter Frey can die because Euron's
you're going to have to make him more of a, you're going to have to create a villain. You're going to have to bring somebody up.
Yeah.
Too, though. And I'm wondering if Dorne becomes a villain.
The High Sparrow is
still
there.
I think Dorne is going to become, and the Sand Snakes, I don't think that they're...
What if Dorne becomes, like, the thing of life?
I don't think she's going to welcome,
Or what if Euron marries her? Like... Yeah, oh, that bitch didn't want to fuck with me. You want to marry me and match
right.
up?
Right. When he get the newspaper on what happened?
Yeah, the newspaper.
I just don't want
the newspaper.
I already find out.
I don't want to see Euron and all that sun they got down there in Dorne.
But my cocktail.
They about to change his character. He
was like my big cocktail.
Oh, the look in Danny's face when they said that, I was like, ooh, Danny ain't against that.
Yeah, Danny like, shit.
She was like, he got what? Say
and no. Then she looked at Theon like, do you still have yours? Is it a family tree? Like, I ain't got nothing for you, man. Like, you know, it is a family thing, but it's I don't have nothing. I don't have anything for it.
I don't know. I think this week will be interesting. Good thing is that, you know, I was so geared up for the Ultra episode that I almost looked at that as like the Game of Thrones holiday special. Like, and I will get back to like regular expectations for this show. So I wouldn't have any problem with being upset at the end of this episode, though.
Yeah.
I welcome a little bit of mayhem in this, in the establishment getting shook up, because they gotta propel it in the next year somewhere.
Somebody's gotta become a villain, man. I don't know who
it's gonna take two seasons for Winter to go through. So Winter gotta show up. Winter's gotta be here. I think that's gonna be the big thing.
And my thing is, though, even with Winter showing up, you still need an actual human that's a villain, though, to like almost you need somebody that's working with the Night's King or something crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think that's possible, though.
But I'm saying, but you got, I mean, it become to me, it would become a lame situation because the Night's King's not discussing anything. There's no dialogue or no like friction between you two besides you just want to take over. Like it's gonna get kind of bland if there's not like some human that's connecting with them and like, oh, well, you know.
That's why I think that Cersei's about to take is about to springboard back into supervillain status this week. If she burns down fucking Knights, King's Landing, she is the ultimate supervillain, and it will pit her against Jaime, and that's good for business.
And if she does that, she can't go back to Castle Rock then because it's like, you know.
And it puts her in a war with Marjorie's people too. Like, and mix things up, and then the whole time you have this cloud of both Dany coming and Winter coming over the whole thing.
Unless she somehow gets out, Euron's gonna have to fuck somebody, man. It's gonna have to be Dorne, or it's gonna have to be Cersei or something. Maybe Cersei gets out and links up with Euron and says, "I still got a little rank with the Lannisters. I can still do that for you, you know. Maybe we can get this kingship together."
I hope Euron.
Just give me your shit.
I hope Euron's character develops to his full potential, because I mean, if it just ends up being a war by sea at the Iron Islands, it's kind of
anticlimactic.
I don't feel like Euron's a conqueror. I feel like he's kind of like a guy that's a problem. But, you know, I don't know if he ends up being, like, on the level of Ramsay, like that. That was different.
Yeah, that's because he was so ruthless, though. But and you need somebody like... Does Littlefinger become the fucking villain?
He always has been. Yeah. Like, kind of riding that line.
Yeah, he's been riding
that line. Littlefinger's just passive. So, you know, Littlefinger's a politician.
Yeah.
So you don't see his villain
until it's too late.
Littlefinger ain't out here cutting people's heads off. You know,
he gets somebody else to do it.
He's running brothels and taking over kingdoms and having people throw him through holes in the ceiling and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Littlefinger's a diabolical. He's a motherfucker. That's what Littlefinger is. So.
That's what I'm just wondering. Somebody's got to hook up with, like, the Night's King or something like that, where it's got to be something weird like that. I don't know what it would be, but, yeah. Well, anybody got any final thoughts before we get out of here?
We'll see what it all holds.
Where is the finale?
Are we having a finale party this
week? I can't watch Game of Thrones with too many people. I miss too much.
You just watch it again, though, without people.
I know, but then it
ruins. Is anybody having a finale party?
Somebody should.
It ruins my suspense.
I actually like to watch it before. I need to watch it
with everybody. So we need to have a post party.
Watch it again, boy.
Maybe we'll have everybody come together when we do the podcast or something. Like a lot, like a bigger podcast. Everybody can just watch us do it. Everybody can watch us do it, and then
rap podcast.
Yeah, like a big wrap up.
Yeah,
and people come on
the episode.
Yeah, and everybody can come and hang out with us while we do the ending. You know,
no talking in the background.
Yeah, but you or raise your hand like in school.
I'm not recognizing you.
Hold your hand up until I'm ready. Until called upon.
So we will see y'all next week, and we'll. Everyone's thoughts, and email us, landocalpod@gmail.com, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.